chapter 21 of Leviticus. Who remembers what we went over the last Torah portion?
The priests were not supposed to drink strong drink because they might die like Nadab and Abihu.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing for sure. Sonia, you raising your hand?
Nope. Shabbat Shalom, Julie. Good to see you come in.
And Yom Kippur is covering.
Oh, yeah, so we went over the Yom Kippur, right?
The feast.
Yep, we went over the feast, right? For sure. And we're going to get a whole lot more of that here. The book of Leviticus, as you see, I already have chapter 21 preloaded for us, is you're going to have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of 7 commands in a row. And he is just infatuated. The author of Leviticus,
what is it? I can't see.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're going to have 4 sets of 7 commands just in chapter 21 alone. He's been hitting us with 7s. I haven't pinpointed the 7s the last couple of Torah portions just because I was trying to show you another pattern, right? It was a pattern on the person that got the mark on their body. Could they worship their body, right? The person that got the mark on their clothes, could they be worshiping, could their clothes be their god or their idol? The person that got the mark inside their house, could their house be their idol, right? The man that had the issue of release all the time, you know, could infidelity or sexual immorality be his idol? You know, the woman who had her flow of blood all the time, could that, you know, the same thing for her? Could, you know, the bedroom be her an idol? The thing that she lives for, the her pleasure in life, and not God as her pleasure, but touching another man as her pleasure, outside of God's instructions for man and woman. You know, could God be getting their attention, whether it be their skin, whether it be their house, whether it be their clothes, whether it be their body parts that they're misusing, right? Maybe God's trying to speak to them in such a way to get their attention that this is not what I created you for. This is not what I created your skin for. This is not what I created your clothes for or your house for. You know, this is not what I created the bedroom between man and wife for. You're doing things out of my order, which is all that Babylon did. It's all that Canaan did. It's all that Egypt did. And basically he told us, last Torah portion, don't do what the Egyptians do. Don't do what the Canaanites do, right? Don't do that. But do what I do. Be holy as I am holy, right? That's his desire. So basically, I guess that's in a nutshell. Is there anything else you guys want to say on the last Torah portion?
No. Okay. I think you covered it Shabbat. You did that as well.
Yeah, so, but in the midst of all that, he was tracking that in sevens. 7 commandments, all within his phrases, okay? And so what we're going to do is pick that up here. So chapter 21, you guys ready? The name of this Torah portion is?
Emor.
And Emor means?
To speak.
Speak. Yeah. So this is going to be the 5th set of 7 commands, bunched up. And it says, Yahweh said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, no one will be defiled for the dead among his people, but for his kin that is near to him, for his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, and for his sister, a virgin that is close to him, who has had no husband, he may be defiled for her. Okay? Verse 4. He will not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. Okay? So he cannot become impure for what 2 reasons so far?
Now, are you just talking about people in general or priests?
This is just for a priest, right?
Or the Kohanim.
Yeah, this is all for a priest, okay? Right now.
Right.
Okay. So he cannot become impure for a relative's death, or who else so far in verse 4? a relative by marriage, right? Someone in kin, right?
Right.
In verse 3, mine says also for a virgin sister close to him because she has not married. And in the Hebrew, it's literally ha betula.
Yeah, so A, he cannot make himself impure by a relative's death or even a relative by marriage. So an in-law, okay? There's going to be 7 of these. So let's keep reading. It says, they will not make baldness upon their head, neither will they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They will be holy to their God and not profane the name of their God. They do offer the gifts of Yahweh made by fire, the bread of their Elohim. Therefore, they will be holy. They will not take a wife who is a harlot or dishonored, neither will they take a woman divorced from her husband, for he is holy to his Elohim. You will sanctify him, therefore, for he offers the bread of your Elohim. He will be holy to you, for I am holy, Yahweh, who sanctifies you. And the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father. She will be burned with fire. Okay, so did you guys count 7 within that little paragraph?
I didn't know we had to be...
Oh, you didn't know, Viola? Well, check it out. So number 3 is they can't shave their heads, right?
Mark? Did it say mark their bodies, like a tattoo?
No, their beards.
Only the corners of their beards.
And then make gashes or cuts.
So who said beards?
John.
John?
Viola. I only added to what you said.
Okay,
John did.
Okay.
Correct.
And what about their skin? What aren't they allowed to do their skin?
The skin?
Cut their skin, right? Cut themselves?
Sonia.
Look at you guys, you're listening. Look at you. So we got 2 more. Did you guys see any 2 more in there?
Shall not divorce them.
Marry a divorced woman?
Yeah.
Okay, good job, John. So marry divorced woman. And the last one?
Not profane.
Yep.
God's name?
The daughter of a priest may not be a prostitute. Mm-hmm. Right? So, right here. Daughter, not a harlot. What happens if his daughter becomes a harlot?
She must be burned with fire.
Burn with fire. Okay. Hold on.
Mine says she shall be put to the fire.
Not marry a prostitute. Hold on, I messed up. Not married. He's not supposed to marry.
Fernando.
I know. I did. Sorry. So he's not supposed to marry a harlot. Sorry. Then this one is the daughter
of a priest shouldn't play the harlot.
Not a harlot, yes. So yeah, sorry about that.
Hang around town.
He rubs off on people, he does.
Sorry.
Rubs off on people. Okay, so I was in verse 10. He who is the high priest among his brothers, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured and is consecrated to put on the garments, will not uncover his head or tear his clothes. Neither will he go into any dead body or defile himself for his father or for his mother. Neither will he go out of the sanctuary or profane the sanctuary of his Elohim. Because the crown or the medallion of the anointing oil of his Elohim is upon him. I am Yahweh, and he will take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or a divorced woman, or a dishonored, or a harlot. These he will not take, but he will take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither will he profane his seed among his people, for I am Yahweh, who sanctifies him. Okay. What else does this high priest, get that one away. What does a high priest have to do?
He has to get married.
But
to a pure woman.
So what about his hair? What did he do with his hair? And his clothes, right?
Don't wear the garments.
So he has to get his hair did. His hair has to be trimmed, right? Mm-hmm. And his clothes what?
Not to tear the garments.
Right. Intact clothes. Okay. What's the next one in there?
The marriage one is actually, sorry, I misquoted it. It says he may. It doesn't say he has to. So I was just exaggerating.
Okay. No dead body, right?
Right.
Do not be near a dead body. No dead bodies.
Okay, so the one before was just a priest. This is the half.
Yeah, this is just a priest. This is the high priest. And this is why I know, we're switching the categories here. Like, you just count all these commands, and it's going to come out to, what's 7 times 4, John? Hannah? Ooh, he beat you. 28, yeah. So, is this another list of...
Does it help because I said it under my breath?
Did you say it under your... You can't say
when
it under your breath.
I was waiting for it. I was just waiting.
When he said 28, I was saying it.
You held back for everyone.
Yeah, because I thought...
Well, okay. I was distracted.
I think if Hannah needed
to answer. Which Hannah was probably too...
The priest cannot... What? Where can't he leave? Don't leave where?
The sanctuary.
There you go, John. Did he say he was sipping on coffee? That's why he got it? Is that what he said?
That's without coffee.
Oh, that's without coffee. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. You're bragging about that, John? He's imagining what if I...
Only because Sonia was talking about it so much.
He's just as sharp, in other words.
Okay. Let's see. He can't leave it or desecrate it, right? Don't leave or desecrate. Well, hopefully you guys can fill that one in there.
Do these go together? He shall not go outside the sanctuary and profane the sanctuary of his God.
Yeah,
those two things. Leave the sanctuary and he can't profane the sanctuary.
Yeah, those are together, right? Let's see. The high priest may not enter a place where there is a dead body. We went over that one, over desecration. Oh, he must marry a... Good job, Viola. Say that again.
Only marry a virgin.
There you go. He has to marry a virgin.
If he gets married. If he doesn't. Mine says he may marry, but only a virgin.
Oh, yours says may. Mine says must.
My verse 13 says he may marry only a virgin.
Okay.
Or a woman who is a virgin.
Yeah.
And in the Hebrew, it has the batua in there again.
Okay.
The batua. I can't. It's a different form of the word batua.
Yeah. See, you guys don't even need me no more. You guys got this.
Wait a minute, I only got 5.
Well, no, you have the high priest may not marry a widow, a divorced woman, or a harlot, right? So, no widow for number 6. No widow.
But doesn't that kind of just, isn't that a repeat of the other one?
No, it's not a repeat, but yes, he has the same instructions here. No divorce. No harlot. None of that stuff.
Did you have the one in there about that he can't profane the offering? Or am I getting ahead again?
That's mine is basically the way it reads is not to leave the sanctuary or desecrate it. To me it follows on under the same thing.
Okay, let me find the verse where...
Should be verse 12, I think. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, but it's later. Verse 15, that he may not...
I'm not there yet. Hold on. That's the last.
Okay.
That's the last one. Yes, that's what we're about to get to.
Well, you were asking for them, so I'm looking for the last
one. No, I thought you said I missed one, so you're going backwards, but you're really going to my next one.
Okay, verse 15.
Okay, so verse 15. So go ahead. Where is verse 15, John?
That he may not profane his offering. Offspring.
His offspring, yes, his seed.
For
right?
I, Hashem, have sanctified them.
Don't defile your seed, right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so let's read the next paragraph. I wonder if there's seven more in the next paragraph. What do you think?
Yes.
Love you, brother. Have fun at the wedding.
Bye. Not too much, though.
Yeah, behave. Stay out of trouble. So it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, whoever he is of your seed in their generations that has any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his Elohim. Any man who has a blemish, he will not approach. A blind man, a lame man, one with a flat nose, one with a limb too long, one with a broken foot or broken hand, or crooked back, or a dwarf, one that has a blemish in the eye, scurvy or scabbed, or has his testicles broken. No man that has a blemish of the seed of Aaron of the priest will come near to offer the gifts of Yahweh made by fire, because he has a blemish. He will not come nearer to offer the bread of his Elohim. He will eat of the bread of his Elohim, of the Most Holy and of the Holy. Only he will not go into the veil or come near to the altar, because he has a blemish. So he does not defile my sanctuaries, for I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. Okay, so in verses 16 through the end, which is verse 24, there are a list of 14 more things.
14?
Yeah, seven, two sets of seven. There's two sets of seven, so a list of 14. And the first one is?
Is this for high priests still?
This is for anyone, any priest now. Anyone from the lineage of Aaron. Right? You cannot come and offer the gifts. So you can't work within the veil here. All he's saying is you can't work at the altar and you can't work within the veil. You can work anywhere else, just not in these two places because of your condition. Okay? Does that mean that they're kicked out of the temple or anything? No, it does not mean that. It just means they cannot be the ones sacrificing at the altar or trying to come inside to God's presence, inside that veil. They can do anything else in that temple work, okay? So the number one is if they were
blind. No one with a defect.
Well, these are all defects, right? The blind one, the lame one, right? Number two is the lame. Anybody know what number three is?
Mutilated face.
There you go. Disfigured. Good job. So he's disfigured.
A long limb,
fractured arm.
What did you say, Viola?
Fractured arm, leg.
Crippled foot, hand.
So the next one is called deformed, right?
Well, that's what it says.
Crippled foot, crippled hand, right? So then you have the hand. You have the foot.
Hunchback.
Hunchback,
stunted goat.
Oh yeah, so hunchback, good job. Hunchback is number seven.
Oh, seven.
Yeah, so you got the blind, the lame, disfigured, deformed, hand, foot, hunchback.
Hunchback is five.
No, hunchback is seven.
Crushed testicles.
No, you need the cataract in his eye first.
So the disfigured would be like the nose, right? You have the blind man, you have the lame, you have the flat nose. You have the limb too long, which is deformed.
Your broken arm and foot, hunchback, stunted growth, cataract.
Hold on. Hunchback was number seven. Now number eight.
Stunted growth.
Or number.
Cataract in his eye.
Hold on, it'd be a dwarf.
What's next?
It's a dwarf, right? Your Bible throws me off because it describes it different than my Bible. So it's a dwarf, correct? Yours says stunted growth, and I'm like,
okay,
that's a dwarf. That's what y'all arguing with me. It just says it different. It's the same thing, but just different.
Cataract in the eye.
Yours says cataracts? Mine just says the eye defect.
Cataract in his eye.
Eye defect.
Festering or running sores.
Festering sores. Okay, we agree on that one.
Damaged testicles, but yours are broken.
Is everyone agreeing with her? Are you guys just letting her do this on her own?
Yours said broken, mine says damaged.
So mine says festering sores and then running sores.
And then your testicles?
Crushed. Yep, damaged.
Mine says crushed.
So let's just say damaged.
And that's it, because it says, the rest says, no one can descend with Aaron and priests. Who has any of the defects that approach?
Eat the most holy food. Right? Such a priest, they can eat the holy food. They can eat the holy food. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is they cannot go behind the veil, right? Or the altar. Right? So no veil. Or altar.
I'm gonna read them again. Please. Look at it off.
What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You want all 28 of them? You want all 28
no,
of them?
No. Start from 1 to 14.
Well, 1 to 14 up there
no,
or down here?
Where you were just the
so blind.
Passage we were doing. Yeah, blind.
Blind. Lame.
Disfigured.
Deformed.
Deformed.
No, hand.
Oh, you totally put that in a whole another category?
What, the hand comes first, the crippled hand, the crippled foot, and then the hunchback.
That's why I put hand and foot on deformed, because that's the same.
No, no, no. The one that says deformed on mine, that I'm going off of Sonia's. On mine, it says they have a flat nose, whereas hers says, like, disfigured.
On deformed?
No, hers says disfigured, mine says a flat nose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hers says deformed, mine says a limb too long.
Mine says a limb too long.
But one of y'all said deformed.
It says, no one blind, lame, with a mutilated face or a limb too long, a broken foot or a broken arm, a hunched back, stunted growth, a cataract in his eye, festering or running sores or damaged testicles. No one, and that's where we stopped and you started going on with your holy bread or whatever.
No, I read the rest of the verses. Keep going on. You need me to reread them for you?
Not now, because I put hand and foot as deformed.
Oh, so you got it now?
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know they're spreading that like that. Okay.
So that was the sixth set of seven. Okay? Y'all good on that? Okay, cool. So chapter 22. Chugging right along. Let me know when your brother comes back up.
You just got to play at second.
Cool. So it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons to separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, which they sanctified to me, and not to profane my holy name. I am Yahweh, says to them. Now, from last chapter, from chapter 21, all the way to the end of this Torah portion, try to count how many times he says, do not profane my name. Count that, right? The author is going to emphasize that to you for a big reason. So when you read about something, it doesn't catch you as a surprise what happens. So keep counting when it says, keep counting when it says, shh, you too, shh. Keep counting when it says, do not profane my holy name. Hey, you have to shh because you're being recorded right here. So shh. If you're going to sit right here, just shh, okay? All right. So, it says, whoever he is of all your seed, among your generations that goes to the holy things, which the children of Israel sanctified to Yahweh, having his impurity upon him, that soul will be cut off from my presence. I am Yahweh. Whatever man of the seed of Aaron is a leper or has a running issue, he will not eat of the holy things until he is pure. Whoever touches anything impure by the dead, or a man whose seed goes from him, or whoever touches any creeping thing whereby he may be made impure, or a man of whom he may take impurity, whatever impurity he has, the one that has touched any such will be impure until the evening and will not eat of the holy things, unless he immerses his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he will be pure and will afterward eat of the holy things, because that is his food. That which dies of itself or is torn by beast, he will not eat to defile himself with, because I am Yahweh. They will therefore keep my ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die therefore, if they profane it. I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. No stranger will eat of the holy thing. A sojourner of the priest or a hired servant will not eat of the holy thing. But if the priest buys any soul with his money, he will eat of it. He that is born in his house, they will eat of his meat. If the priest's daughter also is married to a stranger, she may not eat of a gift of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter is a widow or divorced and does not have a child and has returned to her father's house as in her youth, she will eat of her father's meat, but no stranger will eat of it. And if a man eats of the holy thing unwittingly, he will put the fifth of it to it, and will give it to the priest with the holy thing, and they will not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer to Yahweh, or allow them to bear the iniquity of guilt when they eat their holy things, for I am Yahweh who sanctifies them. Whew. All right. Did you guys count the next set of seven there? So there are seven instructions here in, what are we in, chapter 22?
So we have a discharge.
So the first, not right before, there's one before that.
I don't know what that word is. T-Z-A-R-A-A-T?
Da-da-da, the mark, right? He had the mark on his skin, right? So this is the Zadarat, which your Bible will, your new translation will say leprosy, which it's not.
That helped.
Yeah, it's not leprosy, it's Zadarat, right? Which means he's got a mark in his skin, which is a supernatural one where God's trying to get your attention, right? And what did, then what did you say?
That's, discharge.
Yes, so the man's discharge, right? So the man's running issue. Okay.
Dead body.
Sorry, what did you say?
Dead body, and they touch a dead body.
Oh, it's defiled by a dead corpse, right? She must have drank her caffeine today.
She did.
Is that why John was teasing her earlier?
I didn't have any.
Okay, what's the next one?
She's just smart.
Touches creepy things.
The emission, the...
Yep.
She touches creepy things.
Emission of semen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you go ahead. Julie, that's the next one. What are you saying?
Touching creepy things.
Touching impure things? Right?
It still says reptile or insect.
Impure creeping things? Just the impure ones. Okay, what's the sixth one?
Not eat anything holy?
Eating something found dead. Eating something that's already dead, right?
Mm-hmm. And then bathing in...
So eating something found dead.
He is not to eat the holy things unless he bathes in his body water after sunset.
No, eating in verse 8, it's eating something torn by a wild animal.
You see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, torn to death by a wild animal.
Eating something.
But that would say the blood's still in it as well.
Yeah, torn by a beast. You got it, Miss Viola.
And these are... Still Aaron's lineage.
Yep, there are regulations for Aaron's lineage.
With the
Down there. Oh, you're down here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't go to the veil or the altar.
No, that third
one. The third one? That's festering sores. Damaged testicles.
Okay.
Or broken or crushed, just depending on your translation. Yeah, so these are seven more instructions, right? For the priest. And it's broken, and another set of seven.
Okay, so the profane, his name was only said once, unless you're going to refer to I am Ananias.
Only referred to once in this chapter so far?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
So I got...
I am Adonai.
I got verse 2, where he says, not to profane my holy name.
She's our counter.
Okay, right, there's one.
Yes.
You got that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty sure he said it one more time, didn't he? No?
He's saying, I am Adonai, over and over.
Okay, maybe one so far. Okay, that's only once, but we still got two more chapters to go through.
Okay.
Oh, I ain't done yet.
He keeps saying, for I am Adonai, you
sanctified. Oh, okay.
He keeps saying that.
Oh, but guess what? So let's break this up. Did we already read through verse 15? We already read through verse 15, right?
We read to verse, 16.
Okay, so there are seven more in verse 15. Through verse 15. This was verse 8, so if you go to verse 9, do you see another one? Actually...
We read through
16? Yeah! I read all the way to verse 16.
Nope. Oh, I must have slept through that part.
So verse 10 is the next one.
How many?
Yeah, a priest's guest may not eat the offering, right? You guys see that in verse 10? Right? No? You guys talking about me?
No, but she's not reading stuff.
No, I missed all of 10 through 16. That's what happened.
She took a nap.
I think so.
Really?
I don't remember.
Oh, man.
So,
verse 10, a priest's guest cannot eat the offering, right?
I see that.
Okay, what about also in verse 10? Is there another one in verse 10? A hired worker.
The worker.
Right.
And this is employee. They had
employees. Wow. Hired worker
shall not eat the holy.
May not eat the offering. Okay. Those two lines there, if you guys ain't familiar, just mean whatever I read above it.
Yeah,
means.
Yeah.
Okay. Saving me some time. You got it now, Soren? You're on page now? You following along?
She's with us now.
Okay. All in verse 11. What's the next one? Right? Someone that's been purchased with money, they may eat, right? So a slave.
Number three.
Yep, number three. A slave may eat the offering. Because they're part of the family. A hired worker is not part of the family, right? A guest is not part of the family, but a slave, they're part of the family. They belong to him,
yeah.
Right? What are you giving us? A blank cup? An empty cup?
She's getting me ice.
Oh.
Bored in the house.
Okay, what are you saying?
Bored in the house? If you're born in the house.
Can they eat or can they not? Yep. Born in the house. Born in house may eat the offering. Okay. Good job, Julie. Anything else? Verse 12.
The daughter that was separated, she can eat now that she's back.
Priest daughters. No, she may not eat. She's married to someone else, right?
Oh, that's right.
So, daughter.
She has to be married to someone else.
Mary.
What?
May not eat of the offering.
It's
to a stranger?
Is it because she's under him and not her father?
Yeah, because she's under that other husband she married. She's no longer under her father's house. She, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get married to someone, you're no longer under... You're not supposed to be coming back to daddy.
Right.
You married that person for that person. Mm-hmm. And if that person can't take care of you, then you shouldn't have married them. You shouldn't have been running to daddy for help.
Just say daughter married to stranger cannot be...
Yeah, it tells us in verse 12, if the priest's daughter is married to a stranger, someone outside of the Levitical priesthood, she can't eat of the holy things because she's no longer in that tribe. She married outside of it. So she has to go and join with that tribe and not back. She can't come back here and eat. Right? That was the choice that she made. Yes.
Amen.
So the next one would be, what are we in, number six?
Or divorced that returns back and she may...
Has no children.
She may eat. So a childless daughter. Right?
A childless daughter.
It has to be a childless daughter.
Yep.
Who returns...
Right.
May eat, right? And then number 7, which would be actually number 14, two sets of 7 here, is, anybody know? Or was that number 7? No. Did I miss one? Widowed. A priest widowed, childless daughter returns to his house, may eat the offering. Oh, divorced, right?
A divorced.
So one is widowed and one's divorced, right?
Yeah.
So childless, so I guess right here this would be, the difference between number 6 and 7 would be this one is widowed. This one is divorced daughter. Who returns may eat.
Right.
But she has to be childless too.
Childless?
Childless, yep. Because you don't want that. You don't want
the offspring.
Sorry. Hmm?
You don't want the offspring.
Yeah, because if that child is from another tribe, he's not supposed to be here. So then she can't come and return. She has to stay with that tribe to take care of him. Right? But if she's childless, she doesn't have that connection. All right, next paragraph. And there's going to be another set of 7. Ready?
We're ready.
Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, to all the children of Israel, and say to them, whoever is of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his offering for all of his vows, for his free will gifts, which they will offer to Yahweh as an ascension gift, you will offer at your own will a male without blemish of the cattle, of the sheep, or of the goats. But you will not offer... whatever has a blemish, it will not be acceptable for you. Whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to Yahweh to accomplish his vow, or a free will gift in the cattle or sheep, it will be perfect to be accepted. There will be no blemish in it. Blind or broken, or maimed, or having a wart, scurvy, or scabbed, you will not give these to Yahweh, or make a gift by fire of them to the altar to Yahweh. So whether it's a bull or a lamb that has a limb too long or that has a limb too short, you may give that as a free will gift. But for a vow, it will not be accepted. You will not give to Yahweh that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, and neither will you make any gift of it in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand will you offer the bread of your Elohim of any of these, because their corruption is in them. Blemishes are in them. They will not be accepted for you." Okay, so that was up to verse 25. Do you guys see seven more in through verse 25? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I told you about these sets last year, but now we're trying to break them down, what they are.
When you take this stuff, you're not supposed to take any with defect?
Yeah. Good job, Sonia. So it has to be a gift for a burnt offering, right? An ascension gift must be a male without defect. So an ascension gift
without defect.
Ascension gift, no defect. Okay. Good job, son. What about number two? In verse 20, I'll give you a hint. A defected animal is?
Lying, fingers related.
Not acceptable, right?
Mm-mm.
Are you guys mad at God because of that?
No.
Nope. Only the best goes.
Okay, number three.
Ova.
It's a gift, a peace. Peace gift. Or peace offering in your Bible? What about a peace offering?
Unblemished.
Yeah, without defect. That's verse 21, right? No defect. Okay, number four is going to be found in verse 22. An animal that is blind, what else? Maimed.
Skin erupted.
Say that again, Miss Viola.
Skin erupted.
Yeah, sores, right? Is that accepted?
No.
Not accepted?
Shall not be placed.
Okay. Number five is found in verse 23. It's about an ox. What about an ox? What does it say about the ox?
The limbs are too short. That offering by fire? Because
so if the limb's
too short, it won't
be accepted. No, it says an ox with a defect may be presented as a free will gift, just not a vow. So an ox could be defected if it's a what? Free will, right?
Free will for a vow.
But not a vow. Do you guys know why? Because the free will gift is the party gift. I'm bringing this ox and we're all going to eat of it. It's just for us to party with Yahweh. But a vow is like saying, God, if you do this, I'll give you this. But this is defective. Is that really costing you anything? No, right? If you're going to do a vow, God wants to make sure, yeah, it's your best. But for a free will offering, just for a party, God doesn't care. Because this is for everybody, right? This is for everyone to come and party before God. But a vow is a whole other context. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You're not to offer.
Can I help Adasa?
Yeah. Come here. I lost it because it wasn't playing.
Oh, come here. Instead of just clicking randomly. Do, 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 do. No, it's over. They lost. That's where you lost it. The game's over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they lost 10 to 12. So, that's why it just over. They ended the feed on you. That's what happened. Okay?
You're not to offer a bruised or crushed or cut animal with
Look at you go. Yeah, so go ahead again, Sonia. Don't offer what?
An animal with bruised, crushed, torn, or cut genitals. Because it won't be accepted.
Bruised, crushed, or what else?
Torn, cut, genitals.
Is this in that part?
This one.
Oh yeah, yep. Okay, and then the last one, number 7?
You're not to do it in the land, because it won't be, you're not to receive any of them from a foreigner.
Yep. No foreign animals. No foreign animals should be offered. Man, good job. Look at you. Look what you guys did. You broke those all down yourself. You guys are a bunch of biblical scholars. And call you Bible nerds now. Okay? Y'all feeling good? Verse 17? Y'all ready for verse 17? Surely there won't be any more here, right? Ready?
What did you say? Are we ready for verse what?
17.
What?
Did I already read that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in verse 26. Sorry.
No, we're saying man. We're way back there.
Right. All right, you ready? Verse 26. Uh-uh. Do you think there's going to be 7 more? Yeah. You think there is? So Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, when a bull or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, it will be 7 days under its mother, and from the 8th day on, it will be accepted for a gift made by fire to Yahweh.
Is that kind of like the circumcision, the 8th day?
Hold on! Whether it's a cow or a ewe, you will not kill it, and its young both in 1 day. When you give a sacrifice of thanksgiving to Yahweh, give it at your own will. It will be eaten on the same day. You will leave none of it until the next day. I am Yahweh. Therefore, you will keep my commandments and do them. I am Yahweh. You will not profane my holy name, but I will be sanctified among the children of Israel. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. I am Yahweh. Okay, that's the end of chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
26 through 33.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And guess what? Did you guys read 7 more? Anybody count? Mm. Can anybody count to 7? Did you read 7 more in that paragraph? Like a newborn calf is to remain with his mother for 7 days?
That's one, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, dude. So you have a calf, right, with its mama for 7 days. Did you guys read that part?
Yes.
A lamb, right, the same thing. You have a lamb with its mama for 7 days. What other animal?
A goat.
Ooh, good job, Miss Viola. Then you have a goat with its mama for 7 days. Okay. What about a cow and a calf in verse 28?
Is that what a ewe is?
Mine says a bull or a sheep.
No, a cow and a calf.
Okay, well, I didn't
say that. The calf and its mama, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
The calf and its mama cannot be what?
Ate on the same day.
Slaughtered together.
Slaughtered in the same day, right? That's a no-no. Right? He says, don't do that. All right, what about, what are we at, number 5? What about the verse 28, the same thing, but just different animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
A sheep.
A sheep and a lamb, right?
The sheep and its mama? Or the lamb and its mama? That's a no-no.
Okay, what about verse 29? What does verse 29 say for you guys?
The Thanksgiving offering?
Yeah, so the Thanksgiving offering. What about the Thanksgiving offering?
Eaten on the same day. Don't leave it until morning.
Yeah, it has to be a sacrifice.
No, Thanksgiving is like the party offering. Right? But
what does it tell us in there? It says it has to be sacrificed in an acceptable way. Is that what it says?
Yes.
To offer at your own will. Okay. It's got to be your own will, right? Are you commanded to give that?
No.
Is it a commandment that you must do this? But don't worry, one day I'm going to come and die for you so you don't have to do this? Is that what he says? Jesus is going to come die for you so you don't have to keep that no more? No, this is your own will, right? This isn't a commandment. This is something that you want to do. Okay? And then the last one, number 7, in verse 30. You guys said it already.
I'm at 7 already.
No, you did not. No, we're on 7 now. So Thanksgiving offering what? Someone said it.
Should not leave it. And eat it the next day.
Yeah. Should be eaten what?
On that day. The same day.
Eaten on the same day. Because this is a party day. You didn't invite enough people to come and eat. You don't have much friends. When you bring this gift, you got to bring the whole family and all your neighborhood to eat this with you. Because if there's any food left over, that means you don't have enough friends, enough people that like you. And you can't eat the rest of that. You can't save that and take it home. You should have brought more people. You should have brought more people to come and hang out before Yahweh with you, is what that's saying. Does that make sense? So, all right. That's chapter 22. What do you guys think? Is that a lot of sets of 7 or what? How many sets of 7 you got so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? 8 sets of 7 so far. I wonder if there'll be 2 more sets to make it 10 sets of 7. I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. I've never...
I think you've already read it.
No. Have you counted any more? No, don't profane my name, Julie's. You didn't, Julie.
Oh,
look. Julie.
What else?
Verse 32.
32.
Yep.
There it is.
You will not profane my holy name, right?
Oh man.
I hope nobody blasphemes God's name. Okay, chapter 30. Is everybody ready?
23.
Chapter 30. Or 23, sorry. Yeah, you're right. Good
chapter
job.
Chapter 30?
I don't know.
Maybe he needs his caffeine.
I need a lot of caffeine. I am so tired. Because...
Dude, there's not even a chapter 30 in Leviticus.
There's not a chapter 30 in Leviticus? No. We're in chapter 23, Hannah. Alright, everybody turn to chapter 23, will you? You guys ready?
No.
We got to read. We got 2 more chapters. So it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointed seasons of Yahweh, which you will proclaim, holy convocations, these are my appointed seasons. 6 days will work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath, a Sabbath of rest, a holy assembly. You will do no work. It's the Sabbath of Yahweh in all of your dwellings.
The Sabbath.
I'll keep reading. These are the appointed seasons of Yahweh, holy assemblies, which you will proclaim in their seasons. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Passover of Yahweh. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yahweh. You must eat unleavened bread for 7 days. On the first day you will have a holy assembly. You will do no servile work, but you will give a gift made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. On the seventh day is a holy assembly. You will do no servile work. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you've come into the land that I'm giving you to reap its harvest, you will bring an omer of the first fruits of the harvest to the priest. And he will wave the omer before Yahweh to be accepted for you. On the next day after the Sabbath, the priest will wave it. And you will give that day, when you wave the omer, you will give a he lamb without blemish of the first year for an ascension gift to Yahweh. And the meal gift of it will be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a gift made by fire to Yahweh, a sweet savor. And the drink gift of it will be of wine, the fourth of a hin. And you will eat neither bread nor parched grain nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought a gift to your Elohim. It will be a statute forever throughout your generations and all of your dwellings. Okay, so let's stop right there. Is anybody counting?
The Sabbath? Official counting. We talked over Passover, the Sabbath.
So you think there's going to be 7 of them, Viola? Mm-hmm. Oh, Julie says yes.
No, actually 8.
You think there's going to be 8? Uh-oh. So Miss Viola said Sabbath. What was after the Sabbath?
Passover.
Okay, then we got Passover. What was after Passover? Everyone say unleavened bread. Okay, and I think that,
counting of the Omer.
Oh, you know, first fruits, right?
First fruits. Counting of the Omer.
Yep, first fruits. Which, you started the counting of the Omer. Okay, and now we pick up at verse 15. It says, you will count for yourselves from the next day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the Omer of the wave gift, 7 weeks will be complete. To the day after the seventh week, you will number 50 days. And you will give a new grain, wheat, gift to Yahweh. You will bring out of your habitations to wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They will be a fine flour. They will be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to Yahweh. And you will give with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be ascension gifts to Yahweh with their grain gifts and their drink gifts, a gift made by fire of sweet savor to Yahweh. Then you will make 1 he-goat for a purification gift and 2 lambs of the first year for a gift of fellowship. And the priest will wave them with the bread of the first fruits, a wave gift before Yahweh with the 2 lambs, and they will be holy to Yahweh for the priest. And you will proclaim on the selfsame day, this is a holy assembly for you. You will do no servile work. It will be statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And you will reap the harvest of your land, and you will not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap. Neither will you gather any gleaning of your harvest. You will leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. That was a big one. Which one was that?
Shavuot.
Shavuot. Okay, so we got Shavuot, which most people know as the Greek Pentecost.
right, which means 50.
Whew. So you guys think there's going to be two more? Julie thinks there's going to be three more.
Yeah, three.
You think there's three more?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. I think the author, we'll see what he says. Verse 23, you ready for this? Here it goes. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you will have a Sabbath, a memorial announced with the blowing of horns, a holy convocation. You will do no servile work on this day, but you will make a gift made by fire to Yahweh.
Trumpets.
Trumpets? You know what I did? I messed up. Julie, it's actually seven. Because unleavened bread and Passover go together. Sorry. That was my fault. I probably threw Julie off. So Julie was correct on my thing. Let me do it this way.
Is unleavened bread, Passover, and first fruits all together?
No.
No. But the Omar is not one.
No, sorry. It's not. So Pentecost, right there, Shavuot. And then this one that we just read was what?
Trumpet.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. That was my fault. I separated them and my version didn't have them separated. Sorry. Where was I at? Verse 26. Thank you. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, surely on the 10th of the 7th month will be a day of covering, or Yom Kippur. It will be a holy assembly for you. You will afflict yourselves and give a gift made by fire to Yahweh. You will do no work on that same day, for it is a day of covering, to make a covering for you before Yahweh your Elohim. Whoever will not be afflicted in that same day, he will be cut off from among his people. Whoever does any work on that same day, I will destroy the same one from among his people. You will do no manner of work. It will be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It will be a Sabbath of rest for you, and you will afflict yourselves on the 9th of the month at evening, from evening to evening. You will celebrate your Sabbath. Anybody ever heard of celebrating Yom Kippur? Does fasting from food and drink sound like a celebration to you?
Well, it is.
Draws you closer to God. Yeah.
Some people don't. They don't think it's a celebration. You ever had someone miss a meal before? Huh? Do they feel like celebrating?
I'm starving.
No, Viola.
No, that's what I hear.
Oh man, you should hear my boys in the morning. There's barely breakfast time and they're already asking Sarah what's for dinner. You're like, we're barely eating breakfast, dude. He's already thinking about dinner.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can't imagine.
Energy.
I can't imagine a grown man with that mentality. Because it's out there. Right? But yeah, he says it's a celebration and this is the day of, what do you guys call it?
Yom Kippur.
Yeah, Yom Kippur.
Fasting.
Yeah, because this was taking that stuff back out to the goat that made you eat that stuff in the beginning. So in order to, you want to defeat that guy from the beginning, don't eat, because that's how he got you. Right? I mean, think about it. Did you guys read my text this week? I sent out my daily text to you guys. Did you guys read that one? And I was speaking from experience. Where if I had friends that were dealing with like pornography or something, everyone's like, oh, it's okay, brother. It's, you know, we're the flesh is weak and we're all just a bunch of guys and blah, blah, blah. But the moment they try to eat kosher, now everybody's like, oh, why are you eating kosher? You're under the curse. You know, they just start beating them up. It's like, shouldn't you be that way if he's into that gross sexual immorality stuff? Why are you guys all buddy-buddy with him when he's doing that gross stuff? You know, cheating on his wife or whatever. But yet, the moment he starts to keep the Sabbath day, all of a sudden you guys come with all the knives out to stab him.
Because the first one doesn't convict themselves, and then the second one might. Because if they're doing the same thing, then of course they're going to support it. But if they're not doing something, and that guy is, then it shows them that they're doing wrong.
My previous congregations or churches that I went to, I never saw anyone beat someone up for like sexual immorality or anything. They were all lovey-dovey with them, hugging them and praying for them. It's all right. But the moment someone wanted to go wear some tzitzits and blow a shofar, all of a sudden everyone came out and just like jumped on them. You're like, whoa, shouldn't you guys be like combating the sin in the congregation instead of somebody trying to eat biblical?
Trying to do something biblical?
Yeah.
God forbid.
They have, no, that's my life. Like, they jumped on me when I started doing Torah stuff.
Oh, yeah. I know if they jump and build
up. But no one jumps on you when you're actually into sin. No one's jumping on you when you're sinning, but the moment you want to do this, it's like they treat this worse than sin. Which is crazy, right?
It's going off tradition.
Yeah.
Tradition.
So that was my point. And so if you want to combat the enemy, so go on a fast, change up your diet, and watch all the wolves come after you. Right? Because that's how sin came into the world. Was he convinced them to eat something that God didn't want them to eat. So on Yom Kippur, as you take the garbage back to that goat in the wilderness, God says, don't eat. And you'll have victory. Right? That's how you beat him. Just don't eat. Oh, but Viola, you're hungry. Look at these stones. You can turn them to bread and eat them, Yeshua. No thanks. Right? All right. So next one. Verse 33. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month will be the feast of Sukkot to Yahweh for 7 days. On the first day will be a holy convocation. You will do no servile work on it. 7 days you will offer a gift made by fire to Yahweh. The eighth day will be a holy convocation for you. And you will offer a gift made by fire to Yahweh. It's a solemn assembly. You will do no servile work on it. So these are the seasons of Yahweh, which you will proclaim to be holy assemblies, to give gifts made by fire to Yahweh, ascension gifts, grain gifts, gifts and drink gifts, everything on its day, besides the Sabbath of Yahweh, besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will gifts, which you give to Yahweh. So however, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered of the fruit of the land, you will keep a feast to Yahweh for 7 days. And the first day will be a Sabbath, the eighth day will be a Sabbath. On the first day you will take the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook. You will rejoice before Yahweh, your Elohim, for 7 days, and you will keep it a feast to Yahweh for 7 days in the year. It will be a statute forever in your generations. You will celebrate it in the seventh month, and you will live in tents or booths for 7 days. All that are Israelite born will dwell in booths, so your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. And Moses declared the seasons of Yahweh to the children of Israel. So what was number 7?
Feast of Sukkot.
Sukkot, which is not too far away.
We just started.
What do you mean? What do I mean? Shavuot is how many weeks away?
Two?
3 weeks away. It's Shavuot already.
Wait, we're just barely getting the garden in. Let's hold off a little.
You're 3 weeks from Shavuot. That means after Shavuot comes the fall feast already.
Man.
You're shaking your head.
Too fast.
That means in 3 weeks. Okay. What did she say?
Nothing. I sat at the wrong table, Nate.
You sat at the wrong table?
Well, you're if you were doing it, calling her name.
If you were doing it, the menorah, how they usually do it is do, there's seven branches.
Uh-huh.
And they like to attribute those to the seven branches, but they don't have Shabbat on there like you do.
No, because I'm just going off of what the author's listing here. And the way he phrased it has it this way so far. But he's going to talk about the menorah here in a second. Mm-hmm. Right? But, yeah, in 3 weeks is Shavuot.
Yeah.
You're shaking your head, Viola?
Too fast. It's just going.
Yeah.
Week for week. It's like, we're on Sabbath again.
And then about 3 months later?
Woo! Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be...
The day, 28th day of counting Shabbat.
You are correct. Today is the 28th day. Yep. It's the end of the fourth week of counting the Omer.
Yep.
Good job, Miss Linda. Yep, and then fall feast.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all just started the year, you thought. One more month and you're halfway in it, right? All right. Anything else on chapter 23 that stuck out to you guys? You guys all good? Everybody okay? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's chapter 23. Now let's get into chapter 24. You guys are doing good.
Home stretch.
This is going to be the home stretch. Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, command the children of Israel to take to you pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, outside the veil of the testimony, in the tent of meeting. Aaron will order it from evening to morning before Yahweh continually. It will be a statute forever in your generations. He will set in order the lamps on the pure menorah before Yahweh continually. You guys catching this? You following this? So how many sets of seven did you have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9? Okay. Which this is now followed by what?
The menorah.
What did you say?
The menorah.
The lamp.
The lamp.
And what is a menorah?
Lamp.
What kind of a lamp?
It needs to be on day and night.
Ah, menorah is a seven, right?
Yes. The server in the center.
Seven branch lamp. Look at that. Another seven. Right? And so you have the seven to burn continually, right? And when is he going to burn this thing?
Day and night.
From evening to morning.
Night and day.
Where else did you have the... Where's the first time you heard the phrase evening to morning? Go ahead, Julie. First day, right? The first page of your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get us to go back to the first page of your Bible. Why would he want to do that?
Because that's where we're going to end up.
That's God's heart. God God wants to be with us, is what he's saying. Like, he really wants to be with you. And all he wants is you to have the same emotion, that you really want to be with him. That's what the author is stressing. God really wants to be with you. Please, really want to be with him. This is the heart of the author, what he's telling us. Okay? So, keep reading. Verse 5. You will take fine flour, bake 12 cakes of it. 2/10 of an ephah will be in one cake, and you will set them in two rows, 6 in a row, on the pure table before Yahweh, and you will put pure frankincense upon each row, so it will be on the bread of the memorial, a gift made by fire to Yahweh. Every Sabbath he will set in order before Yahweh continually, taken from the children of Israel as an everlasting covenant. It will be Aaron's and his sons, and they will eat in the holy place. For it is most holy to him of the gifts of Yahweh made by fire, by a perpetual statute. So what are we talking about here?
The showbread.
What is the showbread?
It's right there, right next to the menorah.
It's the Sabbath bread, right? Because you're supposed to do it every Sabbath, right? So, all of this sets of seven, followed by a seven-branch lamp, the menorah, followed by the Sabbath bread, the seven-day bread, right? So this is the seven-day bread. The seventh-day bread.
Oh, like we have every Shabbat?
Every Shabbat, yeah. It's the seventh-day bread that the priests get to eat. It's 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel, and it's got the seven branches, the Holy Spirit shining its light on the loaves. The priests get to come in and eat of it, and they make more of it every 7 days. Yeah.
The priests make it?
Yeah.
Or did they have someone make it for them?
No, they make it.
No, they gotta make it themselves.
I'm telling you, these guys are bakers.
They'll say no girls allowed.
They're bakers, they're butchers, they're cookers, they're doctors, carpenters.
That's it. I do it all.
They're teachers, they're everything,
they're
right?
They're
bathers. They're what? Bathers.
Yeah. Alright, so here it is. Now here's what I've got Julie all geared up for. Okay? So, verse 10. You guys ready for verse 10?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? The son of an Israeli woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and the son of an Israeli woman and a man of Israel, they fought together in the camp. The Israeli woman's son blasphemed the name of Yahweh and cursed, and they brought him to Moses, and his mother's name was Payback, the daughter of my word, of the tribe of judgment. And they put him under the guard until the mind of Yahweh would be explained to them. How do you like that? You like that? That's a good answer. So you guys catch what's going on here?
Using God's name in vain.
Not using his name in vain. What did he do?
He was telling his mother.
No, he's fighting with the man here. Right? Mm-hmm. So you have the son of an Israeli woman, and his dad's an Egyptian. He's fighting with the man of Israel, and in the midst of their fight, this man blasphemes God's name. What has God been telling us for
the last... Do not profane his name.
Don't profane my name. Don't you, what profane means, don't make my name common. Don't treat my name as your name. Don't treat my name as just another name out there. Right? And this man blasphemes God's name after God warned us over and over in the last five chapters not to do it. Just like we're going to hear God tell us, he's going to have a whole chapter on do not sin on purpose. If you sin on accident, you're forgiven. If you sin unknowingly or ignorantly, you're forgiven. Don't do it on purpose. 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 And then there's a guy that goes and collects sticks on purpose. Right, Sonia? You're raising your hand?
So just now when he said that, he always says not to do it. What is the difference between that and earlier when you and John were talking and you said that he always says you can't, like, not like it's okay, but you can do that to his name, just don't do that to the Holy Spirit. Like, what's the difference between that?
So you're going all the way to the New Testament where Yeshua said you can say things about me. You can say that I'm not the Messiah. You can question me. But don't question the Holy Spirit. If you see what he means by that, it is because what just happened in that context. What happened in that context? Exactly. Most people just ask questions about things they don't know. So the question was, a man just got healed from a deformed arm. And Yeshua is saying, don't say a devil healed him. The Holy Spirit, if you are trying to tell me, Yeshua says, that a demon healed this blind man, that is blasphemy. You're not going to be forgiven for that. That is obvious that that's the hand of God helping somebody. That's what he's saying. You can blaspheme me because I'm not, Yeshua said, I'm not as obvious as something like that.
But right here, doesn't it say not to? Or this is just for
not
Adonai?
To not blaspheme his name.
Between the who. Because I always thought like you weren't supposed to with...
No, Adonai. So you're taking two different contexts and trying to merge them into one. They're not the same thing. A man gets healed over here. And they're saying it's a demon. They're saying you only healed them because you have a demon. This has no one's getting healed here. This is two guys fighting. And one guy is making fun of another guy's God during their fight. So no one's being raised from the dead. No one's eyes are being healed. So they're two different contexts. They're not
so
the same.
The situations are different. Because here I'm just taking into the whole... In the one when you and John were talking, all I heard was... about blaspheming, whether it was the Holy Spirit or Adonai.
And the context was because someone got healed. Yes.
And here he's saying, don't blaspheme Adonai. So you're talking about situations, not people, not Adonai versus the Holy Spirit.
No, I'm talking that's the different situation over there. Those people had someone healed in front of them. And they said a demon did it. And Yeshua is saying that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, saying that a demon did it and not the Holy Spirit. That's obvious to anybody with a brain that demons don't heal people. Only the Holy Spirit does. Right?
Obi. So he wasn't saying it's okay to do that to me, not to the Holy Spirit. He's not saying that. He's just talking about context.
He's talking about someone being healed. Don't say that as a demon. You will not be forgiven for that. That's what he's saying.
So he wasn't saying that it was okay for him, because right here he's saying it's not okay to blaspheme him. Right?
Not to take his name as common. He's saying don't take his name as common.
So
he's been saying...
whoever blasphemes the name of Adonai must be put to death.
So who is ever living in Israel, yes. Yeah, so they're here in Israel. You have two guys fighting, right? And... he pierces the name of God. So the Hebrew word is kalal, or says he pierced the name of Yahweh. Okay, so in their fight, he's doing this, but Yahweh had told them, don't treat me as common, as just something ordinary. You respect me. So in the midst of a fight, this guy invokes God's name. And God's not cool with that because God's like, you're just throwing me out there during a fight. Like, you have no respect for me. After he's already, as Julia was counting, he's already told us not to do that.
And so then, is that the same? And I feel like we discuss this often. I always thought that it was bad. Then I thought that you said it was different. So when people just say, like, you know, JC, just in conversation, like when they use it kind of like, you know, like, oh, shoot, or oh, man, you know, like.
But yeah, you're just throwing his name out there, so like
that,
it's just...
That is the same. So when it comes to the JC, it's just like that.
You have no reverence for his name.
Okay.
Right?
And by the way, So
I guess another way to see it is you get married, you take your husband's name, but now you're going around making fun of your husband's name, making fun of him all the time. You're taking his name in vain. So why did you marry him if all you're going to do is go and talk all bad about him to everybody? Or him, you know, you marry your wife, why are you just going to go tell the world how awful she is? What was the whole point? Why did you even get together if that's all you're going to do? There's no honor for each other. And that's what Yahweh's looking for. He's looking for honor. If you're going to say, I want to be yours, I want to live in your land, I want to live with your people, but then you go and say this about the one that saved you and about the one that you ran to, that's an offense, right?
So, like, if you're using it, JC, not, like, praising him or calling on his name, if you're just using it, then that is, you're making it common.
Yeah, you're just making it as an ordinary thing. And he's like, excuse me? Who pulled you out of Egypt? Who saved you from Pharaoh's hand? Who's been feeding you, you know? Yeah, so.
And it's never okay. Because, like, when you guys were talking about the other one, that one was kind of confusing because
Well, it's not okay. It's just that Yeshua said, if you come for repentance, I'll forgive you for not recognizing me, because not everyone recognizes me. But anybody with the brain should understand that only the Holy Spirit could heal a crippled hand, could heal the blind eyes, could raise someone from the dead. You can't say a demon does that. But that's what they were saying. Like, oh, he only heals by the power of Beelzebub. It's like, excuse me. Right? That's what the conversation was in that time. So they're fighting, and he pierces the name of Yahweh. They brought him to Moses, and his mother's name. Okay, so the mother's name was Salome, right? So her name was Salome, which means payback. Okay, so mama's name is Payback. That's mama's name. And she's the daughter of Debri, which Debri is like Deborah. Debri, Dev. And that is my word. Okay? So she's the daughter of my word. And they're of the tribe of judgment, which is Dan, right? So Dan is judgment.
You need it. Brighter marker, man.
Sorry, I'm running out on this one. Yep, so that's the name of the parents in English. So if you wrote their name in English, this is what you would get, right? So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Payback, the daughter of my word of the tribe of judgment. How does that sound if you're going to go? Payback, the daughter of my word of the tribe of judgment, with judgment. So they put him under the guard until the mind of Yahweh would be explained to them. So now they're going to go and see what Yahweh thinks. What should we do with this guy? Okay? So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, bring forth him who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let the whole congregation stone him. Stop right there.
That's brutal.
No, stop right there. What did we just read about 6 chapters ago? Where else in your Bible, 6 chapters ago, four, or maybe eight chapters ago, did you lay your hands on something and take it out to the wilderness outside the camp?
The goat for Azazel.
The goat for Azazel. Where did this guy blaspheme God's name?
In the land.
Outside the camp. He was out in the wilderness. They were out in the wilderness fighting when this happened. Oh boy, I wonder why that might have happened. So they're not in the camp. They're outside in the wilderness and they're fighting out here. Well, who's out there? Well, the spirits are out there.
The enemy.
And out, go ahead.
This says that the fighting broke inside the camp.
What? Where? Mine's, where?
Verse 10. And a fight broke out in the camp between the half Israelite and a certain Israelite.
Go to verse 14. Read your verse 14.
Take the blasphemer outside the camp and let all who were within hearing lay their hands upon his head.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that was outside the camp.
Mine read different. Sorry. But yeah. So anyway, but it's still the same thing because they're going to lay their hands on him and take him outside the camp, just like the goat, right? So they're going to take him out there. So maybe that goat influence came in the camp and now they got to drive it back out there. So maybe this is why everyone gets stoned outside the camp and not inside the camp. But the fascinating part is they all lay their hands on him just like they did the goat. And then the goat goes outside the camp. But this time this one gets stoned. Right? Yeah, this guy's interesting. Nadab and Abihu. What did Nadab and Abihu do?
The fire. Strange fire.
Yeah, they brought the strange fire. They made God, yeah. They brought the strange fire. There's just no reverence, right, for God's order. This guy had no reverence for God's order. And God's really, he's really big on order. He's really big on order,
especially
right?
In his tent, the holy, the holies, yeah. And they were right there.
Yeah, so just like the goat, you lay your hands on him and then you lead him outside the camp. And you get that out there. So it's like Yahweh saying, this guy, take him out to Azazel. Because he's rebelling just like him. He had no reverence for me. Verse 15 says, you will speak to the children of Israel saying, whoever curses his God will bear his sin. He who blasphemes the name of Yahweh will surely be put to death. The whole congregation will certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of Yahweh, he will be put to death. So, is this blaspheming Yahweh like a random commandment that he just came up with? Or is this something he's been telling them not to do?
Over and over.
Yeah. So, if you come into someone's house and they're feeding you, what should you not do to them? So if I'm a homeless guy and Viola takes me into her house, she gives me clothes and she feeds me, the last thing I should do is says, well, Viola, you're just not... You just don't love me. You don't care for me. How would you feel if you were taking care of me, letting me into your house and feeding me, and I just said, Viola, you know what? You're the meanest person I've ever met. That's kind of what they're doing to Yahweh here. Right? Like, oh, he just wants to kill us out in the wilderness. And he's like, excuse me? I saved you from death. Right? But that's how these people treat him.
That's how Exodus was.
Yeah.
He freed them and they were moaning and groaning towards him.
So this guy, why is he there? Like, did someone have a gun to his head to be there? Like, these people are free. They're free to go somewhere else. They can go join another nation. Right? They're free to go. But yet he wants to stay and fight and curse the name of this God that everyone seems to worship. Right? So think about what something has to be wrong with this individual. Something has to be wrong to walk into, like if someone comes into a congregation, let's say we're all here, and someone walks in here and just decides to say, you know what, there is no God. What are you going to be thinking?
where everybody's going to be in shock. It's like, this is not the right place to
like,
say
do
that.
You, do you know where you're at? That's like me going into a bar and trying to tell people about Jesus or Yeshua at a bar. They're probably not wanting to hear about that at a bar.
Or scream at them and tell them.
They're looking to go drink. They're looking to go drink their alcohol, find some random person, and do immoral things with each other.
I tell you, Jesus made wine drink it.
No, but what I'm saying is the same thing. If someone walked in here and said, "Hey, there is no God," you and I are gonna be like, "Do you know where you're at? Do you know where you came into today? You came to a Bible study where people worship God. We're going to look at you funny." Right? And that's what this guy is doing. Why are you at this place with these people who worship this God if you don't? You're obviously grown enough to fight. You're probably grown enough to go and live somewhere else. But yet they choose to stay there and cause problems. And what good did it do for him?
Stoned to death.
He ended up like the goat. And worse than the goat. That, at least that goat got to just go and walk off. This guy didn't. Right? So, anyway, just some parallel there. So, I think we're in verse 17. Mm-hmm. Is that where I'm at?
What? Yes, you are. I thought you were writing 23, sorry.
So he who kills any life of mankind will surely be put to death. He who kills a beast will make it good. Beast for beast. If a man causes a blemish in his neighbor, that as he has done, so it will be done to him. Break for break, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He's caused a blemish in a man, so it will be done to him. He that kills a beast, he will restore it. He that kills a person will be put to death. You will have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for the native. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, so that they would bring forth him who had cursed outside the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as Yahweh commanded Moses.
20 is also highly misunderstood.
20.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, tell me why 20 is misunderstood.
Because you have a lot of people who say, well, aren't you supposed to turn the other cheek as a Christian? And then they say, well, no, because the Bible says eye for an eye.
Mm-hmm. So tooth for tooth.
So turn the other cheek. That was just talking about the Roman soldiers in Galilee. I wasn't telling you to sit there and get beat up by everybody. That was because the Roman soldiers, who were the police, they were corrupt, and they would come and beat these guys up. And right there where Yeshua was preaching, there were a sect called the Zealots. The Zealots were warriors who thought that they wanted to take up swords and go and cause an insurrection against the Roman guards. Like, they wanted to kill the Roman guards. The Zealots wanted... They thought that the kingdom was going to come through physical combat. So Yeshua is talking to those guys saying, turn your cheek, dude. Don't swing the sword at them. Because they're the police, and even though they're corrupt, they're going to come and ransack this place if you do that. Which they did 70 AD. But he was just telling them, when the Roman soldier smacks you, turn your cheek. He wasn't talking about when, you know, the neighbor comes out and starts beating you up, just sit there and take it. It's not, the context is crucial on those. Yeah, that's because that's what he was addressing. So, anyway, that was that. So, why this random life for life and don't murder somebody to finish that chapter off? Because they just killed somebody. Does he think that that's murder? No, he calls that capital punishment, right? So it's almost like he's distinguishing between capital punishment and murder. He's saying what you're doing to this guy is not murder. Because he is a threat to society. He doesn't respect God. And he doesn't respect you. He's not going to respect anybody. Living in this society... This society is Yahweh-centered. You guys are a Yahweh-centered community. He can care less about Yahweh, as he demonstrated. And so he can care less about Yahweh. That means he can care less about you and your way of life. So he's going to be a danger to society. He wants to fight. He wants to blaspheme man and God. The two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Or strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. He broke all of the commandments in one. In the community that's supposed to be all about Yahweh and each other. He does not fit in. So he must die. Right? Because this community is supposed to be about loving Yahweh with all of my mind, all of my heart, and all my strength. And all he wants to do is curse Yahweh. And I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, but he wants to fight my neighbor. This guy's not a fit for this community. He's doing everything opposite of this community. Right? And there was one person in the garden who told Adam and Eve, hey, God told you this, but you should do the opposite. Right? So, that's our Torah portion. What do you guys got? Any other questions or comments on this? Those are four chapters. You got anything, Missy? You good? All right. So anyway, last year I talked about all the sevens. This year I just wanted to show it to you. Took a little bit more time, but I wanted to show it to you. So you guys can see that you guys can do this on your own. You're biblical scholars now. You can go on and try to find more patterns and stuff in yours. You raising your hand?
No, did you take a picture to send to Shelly?
Shelly? Why
Shelly? Is she the one who listens to your...
I got there multiple people that listen to it, yes. As I know, there's probably people I don't know of, but the people that I do know of, there's probably about four of them. But no, I don't take a picture.
Oh.
They never asked me for one.
Just when Linda leaves, we do it for now.
But anyway, do you guys have anything else to say before we pray? All right, Father, we thank you for our time together. And we ask, Father, that you would just bless us this week, that you would help us, Father, just to be with you. Just to be with you, to be pleasing to you, not to do anything, Father, that will grieve your spirit, that will blaspheme your spirit, that will quench your spirit. Help us to walk in your spirit. Father, help us to just be filled with your spirit and live a life that is comfortable for your spirit, Father, to come and dwell inside of us. So, Father, I just pray that you would help us stay holy, help us stay pure. Father, help us stay innocent. Lord, help us be holy. In Yeshua's name, amen.